remember me, Julian? Oh, my Bubbles. Is that you? It's me, your grade 3 teacher, Mrs. Anderson.
Hi, Mrs. Anderson.
Oh, God, I'm so goddamn
Ricky.
Hot.
No, Ricky.
I'd better be going, guys. You know, it's never too late to change the path you're going down in life, boys.
It might be. It's Sunday, December 14th, 2014, and not only is this Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, it's also Eric's 35th birthday, buddy. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. A little embarrassing, but that's all right, man. I'll take your birthday wishes.
Yes, and accept them. But, you know, I gotta tell you, that's Eric, and I'm Ted.
I'm Eric, he's Ted.
And, you know, well, I gotta tell you, man, it's been a tough week for me, bud.
Really? What's going on, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, as you know, I have kids, and there's one indisputable fact with having children. It's for every kid that you have, you catch the illness of every other nasty little crotch fruit out there in the world. So, put it another way, I was pretty sick this past week, man. It wasn't pretty.
Nothing worse than that, man. But we understand, unfortunately, we had to take a week off.
We did, illness.
Man. Yeah. But that's all right. It's glad to see that you made it through unscathed.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm pretty happy about it. I'm feeling great today. And but you know, in my flu-induced delirium, I feel like I missed out on everything this week, man. I do not know about anything in sports and pop culture really from this past week. I come to the social today totally unprepared.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that this is the Ice Cream Social and I am Eric, because I am here to save the day for you,
Ted.
Oh,
man, I can't thank you enough,
you know,
buddy.
As it turns out, it was kind of a massive week in sports.
Wow.
Major League Baseball's hot stove heated up big time here in New England.
Mm.
And unfortunately, as it turns out, in Chicago as well. A case of the mumps has ripped through the NHL locker room.
Oh, nice 19th century disease.
leaving the likes of Sidney Crosby looking like a big-ass gorilla just beat on his face.
Is that what happened
to him? Oh, my God. Okay. He looks so swollen. in the case of the mumps, though,
yeah,
seems like the NHL has soldiered on, even though a bunch of players are suffering from it. But here at the social, apparently, if you have a little cough, it totally shuts everything down, but I guess you're kind of not as tough as the kid, though.
Wow, Rip. You want to miss the rest of the show with a foot in your ass?
Oh, no, man. It's like my grandmother said with the bananas, I'm just giving you the business. But another good story this week was a nice one out of your Dallas Cowboys camp.
Oh, it's good news from the Cowboys?
I think it's kind of comical. Your buddy there, Orlando Scandrick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He visited the Children's Hospital.
Nice.
Yeah, in Dallas. And he beat a kid.
What? What the hell are you doing? What do you mean he beat?
You didn't let me finish. He beat a kid at Madden.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. All right. You know what? I actually did hear this story a little bit this week.
He was running it up.
Apparently, he was a little bit ruthless when it came to Madden. Orlando Scandrick goes to a children's hospital and decides that when he plays, every touchdown he scores, going for two, onside kicks. He ran trick plays. It was bad, man.
He was just giving the kid an opportunity to win. You know, if you play recklessly, you know what I mean? 2 points, onside kicks, right?
No. I think that he had some, there was some poor kid there with a chronic illness that may not live to see his next birthday.
And he just broke him down.
Yeah. So instead of
teaches the kid a good lesson.
Babe Ruth promises to hit a home run for you. And Orlando Scandrick curb stomps you at Madden.
Promises to absolutely throttle you in a game of Madden. But it's a heartwarming.
It is. I'd go with heartwarming. That's a good.
And in other celebrity news.
Really?
I don't know if you heard this.
What?
Emma Watson? She's single, bro.
She's single. Well,
she's been hitting me up on the PMs quite a bit. No,
hold on. I do know that, and for a very good reason, Eric. I'm not sure if you know this, but our in-studio line here.
Yeah, I know. I've made a few calls with that, yeah.
Yeah, it records every call.
What?
Yeah. So our in-studio line records every call that comes through. So
Are you serious?
I know that you reached out to Ms. Watson this week.
This could be embarrassing.
I have the audio from your phone call to Emma Watson. Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
What are my chances?
Not good.
Eric, not good?
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
This is so embarrassing.
More like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Oh no, Eric! You didn't call Emma Watson. Well,
she said it was 1 in 1,000,000. I mean, people win the lottery with worse odds than that.
They do, and you are not winning the Emma Watson, Hermione Granger lottery this week. So, hey, welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, and make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
On Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And search us out on iTunes. Search for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. We're all up in that.
And we are very happy to be back this week. This is the best part of this whole song right here. Right.
Now I've reached that age, I've tried to do all those things the best I can.
That's all we're doing is just trying to fumble through the best of our latter years.
Yeah, right. So, Eric, there was you did mention the hot stove this week, and I wanted to make sure that we jump right on that. There was this was actually a pretty big week in Red Sox Nation.
We bid a final farewell to John Lester. Unfortunately, we could not get him to come back to Boston for the $135 that we offered him.
Do me a favor, and I know this is kind of one of those things that's been a sore point for us for a long time, going all the way back to last year. Recap for everybody, the offer from last year that the Red Sox made.
What, you mean the 4 years, $70 million that they offered him at the beginning of a spring training or in February or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with that,
ace of your staff, the guy's been with you for nine years prior, right up to the system. We drafted him.
Oh yeah, he went through. Okay. He played in Pawtucket.
Yeah, yep. And what we tell him, we think of him for all his years of service and helping us win 2 World Series, battling through cancer, coming out even better. No hitters. We then say, yeah, we got an offer for you. 4 years, $70 million. So we're going to pay you like a fourth or fifth starter, but really, I mean, you're going to be the ace. Thanks for your service. And I think we never recovered.
So we ship him off to Oakland, as we know.
We ship him off to Oakland, which, again, I don't think affected his decision.
No, I don't either.
You know what I mean? It made sense.
We got Cepedes back.
We didn't.
In the deal.
Cepedes, yeah. We'll cover that in a little bit. So, but, I mean, it was expected. We weren't going to do anything last year. Nothing was going to get accomplished signing-wise during the season. So there was no benefit to keeping him for the second half of that of last year's season. Because either way, he was going to go to free agency.
Okay.
So it made sense. And, you know, we get Cepedes coming in with 19 home runs, ends the season with 22. You know, we did see his defensive deficiencies, but boy, does he have a cannon.
Oh, he's got a cannon for an arm.
And corner power outfielders we know are at a premium right now.
Yeah.
So we lost out on John Lester. He went with the Cubs, 155, 6 years, option for a seventh, no trade clause. Theo Epstein stepped it up and opened his wallet pretty
wide. I know that one of the things that happened during the course of the week as well is John Henry went and made a personal visit to John Lester. And I think he, from what I understand, he appealed to the legacy of John Lester. And really,
of course, right?
Well, but he put the pressure on. I guess the Sox offered, what was it, 6 years at 135?
135, yeah.
All right. So, and again, that's a fair deal, but it was $15, $20 million short. This isn't like one of those deals where he takes an extra $2 million to go somewhere.
I don't think we were giving him the no trade clause either.
No, and there was the seventh year question mark and all that stuff.
Yeah, we weren't giving an option for that either.
With this, or just on this deal, one of the things John Lester had said was,
I got to tell you just first before we get into it.
Okay.
I'm in favor of not winning this bidding war.
Oh, no, I'm getting to that. Okay. But one of the things that Lester had said in his press release, I guess, or in his press conference about this was that Theo really didn't apply the pressure. Gave the offer and said, anybody matches it, we'll go to it too. Anybody comes up to it, you're coming here to play with us. That's it.
Of course, that's exactly what a team that's not, I don't want to say out of it, but the team that's
they needed
the
to make a
secondary
splash.
Team.
Yeah.
The secondary team in these bidding wars,
yep.
Well, that's what they do. That makes sense. And I'm going to pay you this, and if someone pays you more, I will pay you more. So there is no pressure to put on. He's telling them, I'm going to pay you the most of what anybody's going to pay,
so,
whether it's a good contract for the team, whether it makes sense or not.
Well, I don't know if you know this,
the Red Sox can't do that.
There's actually an interesting thing about the about those contract offers, and this is one of those things that I found out while reading about this a little bit this morning. Formal contract offers have to be submitted to Major League Baseball.
Yes.
So that there's no backhand, you know, backroom deals. There's no, like, look, if you do this, I'll give you an extra $10 million, whatever, and then they can renege on it later on.
Yep.
So all of these deals go straight through MLB. That's Theo's. Okay, so there's no danger of somebody, of Theo missing out. Yeah. But Theo was the guy that brought him on board in the first place.
Yes.
So there was already a relationship there.
So, yeah, there's some trust. There's, you know, a deep-rooted relationship.
There is. There's a relationship there. And you know from everything you know about John Lester, he actually values that a great deal.
Yeah.
That's what he likes about being
here.
But
then again, if he valued it that much, he actually technically would have been more attached to Farrell.
Well, he's not attached to it that much. It's not worth
$20 million.
It's $20 million. Yeah, it's not $20 million worth of value. But you know what? It's probably seven. It's probably $7 million worth of value.
So, all right, riddle me this.
Okay.
We offer him $145 in 6 years, no trade clause, no option for the seventh year. Does he still go to Chicago?
You got to take that seventh year off of it because of that seventh year, that seventh year club option and all that stuff. Like, let's take that off. So if this was just a difference between...
But it was still there.
No, but you're asking... But we're also talking about a huge amount of money on the end of that. So it's not just $5 million. So if the Red Sox offer him 6 years at 45 is your hypothesis.
Yeah. Yep. No trade without the no trade clause. Red Sox don't give no trade clauses.
But see, that's a huge value item.
That's my point. I don't even think 145 in 6 years gets it done.
No.
I think it's the no trade clause that they put in.
Yeah, but those
it's
things.
It's the seventh year option.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I
aren't disagreeing on this. Those things have a huge intrinsic value to these contracts. And so I have no issue whatsoever with the Red Sox making this offer. Now, this is where I wanted to come back.
I think it was a very fair offer, more than what we were postulating last year, what it would be.
Yeah, we were
Most
talking
of people 120.
Most people said 120.
Yeah. So we went up to 135. I think we made our effort, and I got to tell you, I think they knew when they made that offer that it wasn't going to be good enough.
Okay.
I do. I think they knew that they weren't getting John Lester and they weren't going to go higher than 135. I think that I don't even think they wanted to pay the 135. I think they knew he wasn't going to take it. So therefore, it's more saving face. It's more saying, well, no, we gave a very generous offer. We were just outbid. I think they did it to save face for the fans.
I think that they would have paid the money to him, obviously. And
well, of course, if he said yes,
being,
but I don't think
the issue being the later part of this contract.
As always.
This is a big deal.
Red Sox cut ties usually a little bit early because they're not going to overpay for that third, fourth, fifth, sixth year, like Johnny Damon,
Pedro Martinez.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but even the Johnny Damon was perfect. With people like, oh well, the money, and well, so what?
No,
I'm like,
he would have
been good. Yeah, he
would have
been good
five.
For the 3 years, and you know what? And he was. It was word for word. I said that contract's going to be great for the Yankees for the first 3 years. After that, it's going to be garbage. That's exactly what happened. Teixeira, exactly what happened. A-Rod. Exactly what happened.
And it's the nature
it's
of baseball.
Second half of those big contracts.
And here's this that big difference, the nature of baseball, and there's that wide gap between baseball and football contracts is baseball contracts are all guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
So when you give a guy a $200 million contract, you pay him $200
million. You might not be paying it, but somebody is. Somebody.
Yeah, this guy's getting his
he's
money.
He's getting $200 million.
Yeah. And all too often, teams have to eat
a
chunks of money
before they ship
when they
them
ship
out.
Them out.
Yep.
So not a bad thing necessarily overall for either team. The Cubs got to make their splash. They got a frontline ace on a team that's young, talented, rebuilding.
Yep.
Theo's
making the effort.
Theo's running out of time.
I got to tell you, they're making the effort. They got Madden in there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Everybody drools over him. And I like him as a coach, but not as much as everybody puts him on the pedestal. That whole I'm the smartest man in the room shtick that he does gets a little tired for me.
Granted, that's fine. He's... As far as I'm concerned, he's the best manager in baseball.
I got to disagree. So.
Give me a manager better. Like, give me a guy that you want more than Joe Maddon to run your team.
I would take who I have over Joe Maddon.
Who, Farrell?
Yeah, I
know that you
he's a good manager.
Oh, he's a great manager. I really like Farrell.
I'm smarter than everybody else.
There's aspects of his personality that you don't like change your mind about the way that he can run a baseball team?
No, like I said, I just said how good of a manager he was. But, I'm just telling you I don't like him. Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I did.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, well, it won't be in a minute if you continue that attitude, buddy.
It'll be in your ass.
Yeah, yeah, you can speak right to that. So, Joe Maddon, one of the top managers in baseball, easily.
He's a top five manager, sure.
And if you talk about personalities, by the way, Mike Socia. Listen, Mike Socia, doesn't he look like the douchebag parent at a Little League game?
He looks like Barney Rubble.
Oh, I hate but Mike
yes,
Socia.
I absolutely,
what
yeah.
an awesome manager.
Actually, yeah, he
what
does.
A great
he looks,
manager.
No, he looks like an assistant coach for a Little League team that stands at first base. Yeah,
come on, Bart, exactly. come on.
Yeah, yeah, you
come
got
on.
It. Yep.
This
you know
guy
what I'm
can't
about.
Hit. This guy yelling,
yeah.
yelling
yeah,
at 8-year-olds.
He can't hit,
Come on, you rock this kid. Screw this kid. Yeah, so that's my Mike Socia.
Send him home in a body bag.
Yeah, cardboard box.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah, oh, God. You know, by the way, they established the rules at the beginning of the fight in Karate Kid. That yeah. there's no kicking in the face.
Yeah.
And he wins on a kick to the face.
Yeah. We'll kick to the chin. Is that kind
that's a, you,
maybe it was
I don't
throat.
Know. Where's your chin? Because.
Oh.
No, that wasn't a fat joke or anything. No, it
sure felt like
no,
it.
No, it was like, is your chin on your face?
Sometimes.
Just.
One of them? Aw, I don't have two of them. No, jerk.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't. That wasn't. Wow, we took that in the wrong direction, man. I didn't want to make a
I'm
bad
a little
joke
bit sadder for it.
That's because you're 35.
On my birthday.
On my birthday. And my biological clock is
ticking like this. Anything else you want to pile on?
So we lose the John Lester sweepstakes or whatever, and I think that that's not a big deal.
No, I don't think it's a big deal. It would have been great.
I would have loved it.
Would have been a great story.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
You know, we trade him because we had to, and he comes back. That great story.
And he feels good story. 19-win season.
It's going to recharge the team, recharge the fan base.
Yep.
Absolutely great things would have happened. We would have overpaid, but the fact that we didn't is good.
Okay.
It's good for us.
Now, it's good for us on the long term, and I agree with that. Now, but the Red Sox sort of had a knee-jerk reaction, I think, to this.
It seems like it.
All right. So talk to us about a couple of the deals that came up this week.
All right. So the biggest one is the acquisition of Pochettino from Detroit.
Boy, did we give up
a lot. We did. We gave up a good amount. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the kid's got talent. He's got a good upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He could be very good for this team.
He sure could.
Could be very good for this team. But you're right. We gave up a ton. What we did is we gave up Cespedes, okay? We know this.
Yeah.
It's a rental player, so we know that. So that does decrease his value a little bit. Even though he's a power-hitting corner outfielder, which is a premium, he's not re-signing with anybody. He is going to hit free agency, so you only are getting him for the year.
Uh-huh.
But then they also gave Alex Wilson. Now, it was a rookie last year for us, okay? So young kid, I think he had a sub-1 whip, you know, I think 8.88.
It was an 8.88 whip,
a little bit over one run ERA, I believe, for a reliever. So again, for a young kid on a crappy team, by the way, he did very good for us. Very good rookie year for
him. When we started, like, I really started paying attention to him in August.
Yep.
And
I started paying attention to him about an hour ago when we were doing the pre-show.
I was just going
to
say, like, out of everything, like, that's when
you
find out.
Being honest.
No, I hear you.
And then we threw in a minor leaguer, Gabe Spire. I mean, you know, whatever.
19-year-old kid, so, yeah, who knows about that.
Yeah, but he's not higher in our depth chart there for our top prospects, so it wasn't really just more of a throw-in. But we did. We did give up a considerable amount. So you have one team, Detroit, who asked Pochettino, who obviously valued him quite highly, to ask for that. And then on the flip side of that coin, you got the Red Sox, who apparently felt the same way. But like you said, what seems to be a knee-jerk reaction is we lost out on Lester, so the Sox and Charrington feel that, all right, we need to get somebody right now. We need to get somebody right now. It needs to be a name. It doesn't need to be a huge name, but it needs to be a name. And that's what they got. They got a kid that people know his name, that he does have a good upside, but he could also not.
Now,
you know what I mean? He could also just become an average pitcher in Major League Baseball. But we got rid of a rent-a-player, a good you know, rookie prospect, if you will, you know, 1 year in, and then some no name.
Now, so we give up Alex Wilson, awesome baseball player. We give up Cepedes, who, again, yes, I know it's a 1 year rental, but he's the kid can still rake.
But we're also we're also fully loaded in the outfield. Now,
I got you.
I think we could have had a little bit more patience. I think, and that's where you're going with this.
It's exactly
where
I'm
going. We all knew that Cespedes was on his way out the door.
We did.
We knew that before the season last year even ended, that the goal was going to be to trade this guy to get a pitcher. And I just think that they weren't patient enough. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's we lost out on Lester. They need to get a pitcher in here now to calm everybody down. And then move on, and they did a little too quick, I think.
When we talk about how deals work in New England, and we talk about the Patriots, and we know that basically Bill Belichick's able to, quote-unquote, buy the groceries for the dinner that he's making, and you kind of give them a free pass. When we look at the stuff that goes on in Boston, now, Porcello, this guy went 15-13 last year.
Yep.
On a team that won the AL Central. They won the AL Central. They were a 90-win team last year.
What, they get right? Swept out of the first round?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were a 90-win team. They won the Central.
On the bats.
This kid goes on the bats, right?
On the bats, because their pitching staff was not good.
Scherzer
as a whole.
Max Scherzer
wasn't. Not from the previous year. They underachieved. Their starters underachieved. That's why they didn't make it to the. That's why they didn't advance. Because they have the team to go far. The bats are ridiculous.
This is a team with Justin Verlander. This is a team with a ridiculous starting rotation, okay? One of the best starting rotations in baseball.
On paper.
Sure, fine.
Yeah.
Put it wherever you want to put it.
I mean,
but deals are made on paper, too.
It's on paper.
And on the field, Porcello was 15-13.
Yep.
He was plus two.
Yep.
On a team that had 90 wins.
Yep.
Now, are they, and this is what we give up Wilson for. This 19-year-old kid, yep. Cepedes, and sign this guy.
Yeah, but you know, and as well as I do, in the game of baseball, the records don't always indicate how well you pitch.
Well, we can look at all of the other statistics that this guy had, too, and he's a good number three, low-end number two.
Which is actually what we need.
No, we need horses now. We need horses now.
Yeah, because is a horse. He's a ground ball pitcher, and he eats up innings. That is a horse.
No, a horse is John Lester, who's...
There is no John Lester. Only Zuhl.
It was a John Lester, and we lost him. But this is not a frontline starter. All
right. No. He's, like you said, he's a 2-3.
Who's the best starting pitcher on the Boston
Red Buckholz,
Sox right now?
Clay Buchholz,
there
brother.
There you go.
Big year.
Who, as soon as he couldn't put Bullfrog on his arm anymore. 20 and sick?
Six. I'm going to be sick.
You're a wreck.
I'm going to be sick.
Just one wafer thin mint.
Yeah, 20 and six, I'm calling it. He's going to have a year of his career.
Awesome. Again, you're putting this on paper, and we know that. But we're looking at an entire Red Sox rotation right now that's going to try to replicate what Baltimore just did. Get to the World Series, or the postseason, on the backs of number three starters. And that's basically what we have now. We have number three starters.
And we get the bats going. You know, that could be enough. But they're not done, man.
Go ahead.
No, they're not done.
Oh,
we don't know what's happened yet, but they're not done. They will bring another pitcher in.
Talk to me about
now,
the next pitcher
right,
they brought
so
in.
So we got in Wade Miley, left-hander.
Actually, this was my favorite of the signings.
This was a really good pickup.
This is a good pickup.
This is a really good pickup. You know, the kid's got just over a 3 ERA on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a little bit below 5 at home, but it was a hitter's park. Like, beyond any measure, very, very generous to hitters. But like I said, just a little over 3 ERA on the road. Kid's got tremendous upside. He's young. He's a left-hander. So we get rid of Ruby De La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. He's all right.
Good ball player.
He's all right.
I like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan Webster and a minor league infielder, Raynel Flores.
Flores.
Yeah. But the feeling is...
Mm-hmm.
That they are going to then use Wade Miley to spin that into a even better starter.
Okay, so the guy I actually like that they got.
I think they're going to try to turn around and get somebody better, yeah.
Here's where the root of all of my issues when we're talking about this. This is the root of my issues, okay? Who handles all the dealings for the New England Patriots, so like all the player personnel transactions and stuff.
Well, it's Belichick.
Okay, great. Wait, stop there.
Go Belichick.
Okay. Who handles all of those types of dealings for the Boston Celtics?
Well, that'd be Stevens and Ainge.
Okay. Stevens and Ainge.
But Ainge mostly.
Ainge.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge. Yeah. Okay, we'll just call it a name, Danny Ainge. Who handles that stuff for the Bruins? That's Peter Chiarelli. And Cam Newton. Yeah. Cam Newton.
Cam Neely. Really?
Yeah, right?
He flipped his truck and all of a sudden he's playing hockey.
This is unbelievable. Cam Neely. So Peter Chiarelli and Cam Newton. Who handles the offseason transactions and stuff for the Red Sox?
Lucchino.
Henry.
Charrington. Gets a little consultation.
Maybe. And so this is where I'm having a problem with
all
of this stuff.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
And this is
where... Too many wants and needs from too many guys.
And we're having like... When all of a sudden it feels like when they do something good, Ben Charrington gets a lot of credit. When something gets screwed up...
We blame the ownership. Yep.
Now, this ownership, by the way, they brought us 3 world championships.
They sure did.
I like this ownership.
How can we not? 3 World Series in 10 years?
Who's handling all of this stuff? For real. Like, this is where I'm having an issue with it. You go and you can't make the Lester deal?
Well, you'd like to think that is Charrington. No, we could never make that deal.
But we offered that $70 million for
Charrington didn't.
Charrington didn't.
Nope.
Okay.
And matter of fact, it wasn't even a consensus, by the way, of the owners. Okay. I believe that was Lucchino that made that offer.
Okay. So Larry Lucchino makes that offer.
Or tells Charrington to make that offer.
Craps his pants, and we get nothing out of the deal.
No.
Then
bottom line is this would have been over if they offered him, at the time, 5 years and $100 million.
Okay.
Guaranteed they offer him 5 years and $100 million or 110.
Mm-hmm.
And he signs before the last season even starts, and we're not even talking about this.
This is where I have an issue.
That's what I said. We never recovered from that awful, awful, insulting offer.
And you know what? And this is really difficult for me to agree with the word insulting when you're talking about $70 million. Well, spot on.
Well, we've scoffed at, mocked some of these pitchers in the last 10 years that have tried to use that. And by the way, John Lester never used that. Never said that.
Nope.
Never once said that he was insulted by that offer and this and that. He wants his respect. Never once said that.
I think one of the things that came out of that John Lester stuff, and maybe a little bit of it was contrived and a little bit too much of an aw shucks thing, all right? Which is... But
however
you're going to play
it.
But he kind of played it I really want to be here.
Even after he went after the Athletics, he still wanted to be in Boston and made no ifs, ands, or buts
about it. I
think
the jaded nature of Red Sox Nation makes us feel like some of that was contrived. But they
seem pretty genuine to me.
He came out better. He came out of this thing looking way better than the trio did.
Yeah.
Than Charrington and the trio. And
absolutely. But like I said, like, we've laughed at that when pitchers have said that. Oh, that was insulting. That was an insult to me. It's not about the money. It's about the respect.
This was a real
money equals respect.
This was a real insult.
It really was. It's not even close. It's not even close, buddy. What did you offer him? $16 million, $17 million a year?
Yeah.
That's for small years.
Yeah.
That's what you give. That's what you offer to the guy.
And see,
who just gave you 8-9 years of his career.
You said a key word right there. You said a key phrase, small years, like the short contract.
Yeah.
Now, 4 years, again, might not sound like a very short contract, but this guy's 31 years old. Yep.
This wasn't a Nomar situation where the Red Sox offered him 4 years and 60, and he turns it down, which was a great offer, and then immediately starts to get into his injuries and never recovers. That's the end of his career.
Yeah, he
bounced
LA.
Around, but, you know.
And then it was a
but
wrap.
That was the key turning point in the career of Nomar Garciabarra.
Actually, it was in the 2004 Red Sox, too.
Yeah.
Because remember that
right before
one?
That season. It was right before that season. Yeah. It was the end of 2003. They offered him 4 years and $60 million. Mm. And he thought he could do a lot better.
Mm. How's that working out for
and
you?
And even at the time, we were like, what?
Thanks, beautiful.
Yeah, thanks, beautiful. For all you that know that, that's
an insider
that's for
right
you.
There.
That's
yeah.
for you.
So what? Now, what else have the Red Sox done here?
Well, they went and went a little retro. Got Justin Masterson back.
Yeah, buddy.
Favorite of Francona. So much that he actually brought him to Cleveland.
Yeah, and actually sort of a...
Good kid.
Yeah.
Good kid. Got some good talent. He never fully reached.
No, maybe he... I don't even know about fully reached. Maybe
he overachieved?
I think he got to his talent level, but I think he was overused by Cleveland. I think, you know, you and I had talked about that before. Overused by Cleveland. Maybe the best place for Justin Masterson to be is in the bullpen. And
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, but they have him slated as a starter right now.
That's because we don't have any more.
There you go.
What about Lackey?
Is he still out there?
Yes.
All right, what do you offer a guy like Lackey? And by the way,
16 mil.
He was a beast last year.
2 years, 16 mil. He was only scheduled to get a mil, right?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
that was a $500,000 or a mil.
It was $1 million.
Yeah, but hey, that's the contract. That's what it was, because you don't know how you're going to come back from Tommy John. I absolutely want John Lackey on the Red Sox.
Yeah, I do too.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's from what I understand, he's a great teammate. He's a big tipper. That's a fact. That's a fact. He's a huge tipper.
That is.
And the dude's a workhorse, man.
He is. That's a guy. That's a guy who
he got in shape. He rededicated himself to the game.
Yeah, lost 30 pounds or whatever.
Absolutely. That was actually, I was more upset about that trade than I was about the John Lester trade.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. I thought he held a lot more value. Never mind the $1 million year that he had after that, as far as being value.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about talent wise.
Mm-hmm.
The value was should have been much higher than what was there.
Yeah.
I would love to see him back in our starting rotation as our number three starter.
I wouldn't have any problem with that either.
You know, but I mean, that's pretty much all said and done. We're going to have to wait and see on a lot of this stuff. We're going to have to wait and see on the Pacello. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait.
Then let me ask you this final question to close this segment about the Red Sox week.
Yeah. Hot stove, cool music.
71 wins last year for the Boston Red Sox.
What did we finish with?
That's what we finished with.
No. Are you asking what
we're No, that's what we did. We finished with 71 wins. Yeah. Baltimore finished with 96. Are the Red Sox 25 wins better now than they were last year? 15 wins better right now?
All right, need to get them 10 more.
Make sure you hit us up on Twitter, at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
Hit us up on iTunes. Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, sucker.
All right.
I'm sorry, honey, if I took you just a little too far. Yes, I took too far. So I told the fellas out behind the bar, told them to tell you, honey, just how fine you are. Yes, I guess you are. You see, I'm begging you, please, begging on my baby.
Thank you, David Lee Roth and the mighty Van Halen, for coming back. And
yes. Yeah. Mucho thanko.
Mucho. Okay, and moving on. Welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I am Eric.
And I'm still Ted.
And it's still my birthday.
And it's still your birthday. Yeah.
You get gifts on my birthday.
I know.
You get gifts on my birthday.
Eric got me the most Dude got me the most awesome double XL black hooded sweatshirt with a dark tower. Stephen King. We are tower junkies and King's constant readers. Yeah. We are big, big fans of Stephen King and the Dark Tower. And it's a dark tower sweatshirt with an awesome piece of artwork on it. Actually, you know what? Let's take a picture of it and post
absolutely,
it on the Facebook
absolutely.
Page.
Absolutely. Gunslinger, roses, and all.
Yeah. Cancano Ray. So, speaking
Gunslinger and roses.
Yeah, right? Hey. And speaking of gunslingers, we have a football game to talk about this week that's near and dear to your heart.
So, who's the gunslinger? Tannehill or Brady?
Okay. Actually, more of a gunslinger, I think, is Tannehill this year.
Yep.
Yeah, Brady's been...
Brady's more of a Hall of Fame, one of the best all time ever.
Now, so...
you know.
So when we last left the Patriots-Dolphins rivalry, was week one. Patriots went into halftime with a comfortable lead, looking pretty strong. What happened in the second half of that first game of the season for the Patriots?
Patriots got punched in the mouth.
In the mouth.
By the Dolphins defense, and the Dolphins offense beat up on the Patriots D.
It's one
of the few times that you see the Patriots and Bill Belichick, Coach Belichick, get out-adjusted at the half.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think that the Patriots kind of went into it saying we don't really have to do anything
different. Yeah, there is no adjustments to make. Yeah.
You know, and again, that's speculation. We weren't there. But the
only had like a 14-3 lead at the time. I mean, that wasn't much.
So that led to the Patriots right there losing the first game, finishing the first four games of the season at 2-2. Obviously, it was like it was
the sky's falling, throwing Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Gotta love the Patriots fans.
Yeah, right. So then the Patriots have this gauntlet that they have to navigate, and they have to go through Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, and they have to.
We talked about this. We actually put it in one of our opens. And what are the odds of the Patriots getting through the next five games? And we said none.
And
well, apparently we were wrong, and they went 5-6 on that. Five and one out of those six games.
Yep. And the game they lost was in Lambeau,
and they could have won that game
against the other greatest quarterback in the NFL.
Yep,
Aaron Rodgers, but also the. The Joe Flacco of defense in Clay Matthews.
What, the greatest defense?
Greatest defensive player in history is clearly is Clay Matthews, because that guy sucks so bad. Dude, one day I'm just going to sit here and just rant on how bad he is and break it down for everybody. But that being said, Patriots have to play the Dolphins. It's going off later today. Really excited about this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, what happens in this game? What's the Patriots' reaction to losing the first game, running through this gauntlet? Is this a next opponent?
You want to know what that will equate to in the first half?
Talk to me.
That will equate to a 17-6 lead going into the half.
Patriots.
For the Patriots.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have the Patriots up by two scores.
Yep.
And
except this time, when they get out of the second half, they've made adjustments to improve the lead. Now, I believe the Dolphins are going to make it close. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to get run over in this game at all. It will be within a score towards the end of the game.
Okay.
Now, whether the Patriots get a garbage time touchdown, make it two scores, I don't know.
Okay.
But the Dolphins will be within striking distance in the fourth quarter, but it's not going to happen for them.
Question.
Yes.
At 7-6...
Yes.
Is the season now over for Miami?
Close. If the Dolphins lose to the Patriots, it's done. It's over. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that means the Patriots win the East. Like if they hit it this week, then mathematically.
Well, if the Patriots lose out and the Dolphins win out, three games left, Dolphins win the East.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
All right.
Well, it's not. The Dolphins could win out, obviously, if they beat the Patriots. Then they play in the Jets and Buffalo. You know, that sounds familiar of last year, where all they had to do was beat one of those teams and they would have been in the playoffs.
Okay.
Playoffs. But so this year I think is going to be play a little bit differently. It's a different team. It's a different attitude with them this year. You can see it. Unfortunately, that's not translating into extra wins like I hoped it would.
Now,
so if the Dolphins beat the Patriots today, which isn't out of the realm of possibility.
No, of course not.
Then they have a decent shot to get a wild card at 10-6. But that still might be tough because it's kind of a log jam.
That's a tall order because
a lot of tiebreakers getting involved there in the wild card this year.
AFC North right now has Cincinnati at 8-4-1, Pittsburgh at 8-5, Baltimore at 8-5, Cleveland at 7-6. And by the way, the Johnny Manziel era
starts today.
And the world is a worse place for it.
Yeah, and the world doesn't care. Did you see how the entire middle of the country and down got their programming changed?
Yes.
As soon as Manziel was announced as a starter?
Yeah, now all...
So NFL and the networks believe that the country loves Johnny Manziel to the point that he's going to plaster him all over the freaking TV?
See, he's
one
of those...
Or are they shoving him down our throats?
Okay, why is Kim Kardashian as famous for what?
Her ass?
Famous for being famous. That's it. Like, that's it. I mean, it's her ass.
It's her ass. It started with the sex tape.
But that's it.
She has a successful business.
But where did it all come from?
A sex tape.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nothing.
And her legacy of her rich daddy.
Yeah, that's it. So nothing, right? Yeah. Johnny Manziel.
It's like every reality star in this freaking world.
But it's shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
It's sorry about that. I know we're talking about Kim Kardashian. But it
wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah. But it's all of that stuff, like those people who are famous for being famous, it's shoved down your throat. This is Johnny Manziel again. They are literally taking this guy, putting him in every home in the country.
Why?
Because
if you're the NFL, is that who you want to promote?
Why? Now, you raise a great question. It's not who you want to promote. It's the short-sightedness right now of the dollar. What is going to take the... Now, you know what happened this week with Roger Goodell. More came out about Roger Goodell. And
then they disputed it.
Of course.
And of course, there's no proof on either end.
And ESPN was called a liar
yes.
by the NFL.
Yep.
Now, the NFL, of course, one of the flagship networks of the NFL
ABC.
Is ESPN and ABC. So now you're sitting there with ESPN Sports being called a liar by the commissioner of the National Football League.
Yep.
When we went back to beginning of the year in August, you and I talking about all of this stuff, is Roger Goodell last the season and beyond? You know, I'm starting to think again, this is it for him.
No, I still disagree.
This has really been one of those things that you and I have been talking about for a long time on this.
Yep. So I still think no matter what shitstorm comes up, no matter how bad he looks, doesn't matter.
No.
At the end of the day, the owners know that this dude makes them money.
So going back to this Miami game, and this is the thing that I'm curious about, because these are your Miami Dolphins.
That's right there.
Now, there's really no chance for a wild card to come out of this division. It would have to be extraordinary circumstances.
Like I said, the Dolphins literally have to win out.
And get help.
And get help. Pittsburgh's got to have to start losing a couple of games. Cleveland's out of it. Like the Dolphins are then, right?
Dolphins would have been in much better shape.
If they would have beaten the Baltimore Ravens last week, like they should have.
But they played against Joe Flacco, and we know Joe Flacco.
And his brother, Tony Flacco.
He's the greatest quarterback and singer combination in the entire NFL.
It would be funny if he really did have a brother, Tony Flacco.
Dude, that'd be hilarious, man. I want to just meet Tony Flacco. So,
just to show him my disdain.
So we ask the question, is the season over? As a Dolphins fan, is the season over? More or less, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Are they
a
better?
Bit less than more, but yeah.
Okay. Are they better than they were last year?
Yes, but like I said, last year, they actually had the opportunity to make it into the playoffs. Just had to win one of the last two games in their control.
If you take this year's team, put them in last year's circumstances.
We are in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay.
Probably 11-win team, actually.
Okay. Where do you see the future trajectory of your Miami Dolphins? This is what I'm curious about. Like, give me the mind of a Dolphins fan, that not like a mindless dickhead who...
Come see me in 3 years when Tom Brady retires.
Okay, that's it?
Yeah.
No, barrier...
Otherwise, we're just good for a wild card.
Okay.
And the barrier, I mean? We're not beating the Patriots ever to get to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
While Tom Brady's the quarterback.
All right. No, it's a good point.
I'm realistic. I'm not stupid. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, that's why I'm asking you. And now, so real quick question, too. You mentioned Cam Newton, or I accidentally mentioned Cam Newton in the first segment.
Yeah, that was definitely by accident.
Got in his car accident. We know
Someone
all of this stuff.
Someone should have been dead.
They're a half a game out of the lead in the NFC South.
How disgusting is the NFC South, Ted?
Atlanta, 5-8.
Wow.
New Orleans.
Is that the bottom?
No, that's first place.
No. Dude, turn your computer upside down. You got to be something going on there.
Tampa at 2-11? Is that what?
11-2?
Oh, no. Wait. The NFC South.
You must have meant 8-5.
Atlanta, 5-8. New Orleans, 5-8. Carolina, 4-8-1. And Tampa Bay at 2-11. So
you tell me if Carolina didn't tie with the Bungles, then they'd be have a share of that lead.
Yeah, and Cincinnati has a half game lead over Pittsburgh. And
well, screw Pittsburgh.
I was kind of waiting for the first time I could sneak something in about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, just so it ain't gonna ever happen.
No. So where do you see the AFC finishing up this year? You know where everybody's at.
Who are your playoff teams?
Yeah, talk to me.
You got the Patriots, you got the Colts, you got Denver, you got the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does Baltimore make it in at 8-5 right now? Big win last week against the Dolphins, and not ball busting, but that was a big win for that team.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. Real thing. Jerk face.
I mean, yeah, what? So you got Baltimore and you got Pittsburgh? Who's the other wild card, Ted? Come on.
Well, all right, so
Who's the other wild card?
The other wild card, I got to think that right this minute.
It's got to be Pittsburgh. It's got to both have to be coming out of there, no? As it stands right now?
It's Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore is how it's broken
Those
down
are your
right
playoff
now.
Teams.
Now, the only two other teams, one is San Diego. Still at 8-5.
Oh, they're at 8-5. Behind
Denver at 10-3.
So San Diego. All right. Yeah.
So
that's why
one of those things. Like I kind of see.
All right. Well, this is what's going to happen then.
Okay.
Pittsburgh Steelers, San Diego Chargers.
Those are your wild cards.
Yeah, and Ravens are on the outside looking in.
Okay. All right. You know what? And I'm not far off on that. And I think that I don't think that here's the issue. One of the teams that's kind of made a little bit of noise on and off this year, Houston, at 7-6, in second place behind Indianapolis. Now, it would take extraordinary, again, measures for Houston to leapfrog them.
They have a tough matchup this week.
Who they got this week?
I can't remember. I just remember it was tough.
All right. So, well, we can...
We'll be going over
over those in a minute. But going back to the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Does Dallas finish 11-5 and miss the playoffs?
Hmm.
Because that's what it's starting to look like right now.
No.
Okay. They have a game against Philadelphia on Sunday night.
They're winning that game.
Okay, they're winning that
Philadelphia
game.
Philadelphia is a bunch of frauds.
Talk to me.
They're just frauds, man. You see that last game?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Did they even look like they had a prayer in that game?
No.
They were embarrassed.
They were thoroughly embarrassed.
It looked like they didn't know what the hell they were doing. It's like Mark Sanchez is out there pretending to be a quarterback.
Now he's
And he fooled quite a few people in his first couple of games, and now people are like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
it's Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez. That's
that makes perfect sense.
We had that in one of our lead-ins earlier, like in the month. It was Mark Sanchez is actually playing like Mark Sanchez again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came out and then stomped the Cowboys. But then last week they just got
Cowboys are not going to lose again to the Eagles.
Here's the next big question. This is what I need to ask you about the NFC South. Now we have Arizona. They're at 11-3. They won this week.
They are one and done.
They won this week,
yes,
but they lost their quarterback again. Now, Seattle.
What do you mean they lost their quarterback again?
Their quarterback's gone. That Carson Palmer is injured. He's gone.
Yeah.
Kid who came in to back him up, boom, done for the season.
Stan?
Yeah, done for the season.
The kid that wasn't doing shit?
Yep. He's now done for the year.
Oh, that's right. And then they put somebody else in there.
So now they're on their third starting quarterback of the season.
It doesn't matter. Second or third quarterback, it didn't matter. If Stanton didn't get hurt in last week's game, Thursday's game, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, as soon as that happened, they were just a playoff team waiting to be bounced. Everybody knows this.
Everybody knows it.
It doesn't matter how good their defense plays. If they're lucky enough somehow to get a bye and they find a miracle in their last two games and win them and get that bye, then that just buys them a week of relevance because they will be knocked out by the first team they play, period, regardless of who's quarterback other than Carson Palmer, which ain't happening.
Now, Seattle's sitting here at 9-4.
Yeah.
Seattle.
San Francisco's Seattle's going to win the top wild card.
Okay. So Seattle wins the top wild card. They have to play on the road. We know that that's been a little bit tough for them. This is the defending Super Bowl champion.
I thought they were at home against San Francisco.
No, I'm talking about in the playoffs. They're going to be on the road in the playoffs. They are not going to secure home field advantage.
Do me a favor, Ted, because you got the computer up in front of you. I want to know Arizona's last two opponents.
Arizona's last two opponents are...
If one of them is Seattle, then Seattle has a chance of winning the division.
Their last two opponents are home against Seattle and at San Francisco.
That's it.
That's a wrap?
It's a wrap.
So are they 11-5 then?
Yes, they are a wild card team now.
So they're a wild card team now.
Yep.
Seattle leapfrogs them.
Yep.
And then Seattle gets to host the playoff game.
Yeah, Seattle finishes with 11 wins, just like the Cardinals. They would have split, so it'll go into other contributing factors. And the division, I think their division record will end up being better because Arizona's going to lose these next two games.
And it looks like the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC is going to have to go through Green Bay.
Okay? Yeah,
That's what we're looking at now. Green Bay,
they're sitting at
10-3. And their last three opponents coming up.
Bring it on.
One moment, please.
Give us a better idea of what's going on.
They have Buffalo.
Win.
Tampa Bay.
Win.
Detroit.
Okay, so maybe they lose the last game. So at worst, they're a 12-win team. At best, they're a 13-win team. So that tells us they are the number one seed in the NFC.
Yep.
End of story.
Yeah. Now.
That's not a prediction. That's
a fact. No, that's it. Yeah,
that's a fact. I agree with you. Green Bay has got the number one seed.
Now, that means that Seattle has to go to Green Bay.
Yes.
Can Seattle beat Green Bay?
They can because of their defense. They're one of the few teams that are going to be able to win in Green Bay.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers, if he faces Seattle again, will throw to the other side of the field now?
I think he might distribute the ball a little bit better. I
think he might spread it around a little bit more, and Jordy Nelson might get a couple. This year.
That's cute, because you're the only one that avoided him.
Right? Oh, God.
Which was weird. But, hey, we'll give him a pass. First game of the season. I don't know. That was weird.
So, in the NFC East, we have Philly at 9-4. And we have Dallas at 9-4.
Philly finishes as a 10-win team.
And doesn't make the playoffs?
No, they'll make the playoffs. They'll get a wild card.
All right, so that there we go. Then that answers the other question, because that's going to be the second wild card. So you have the wild cards coming out of the West and out of the East.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we have right now, this is how Philly finishes. The biggest game of Philadelphia's entire season takes place Sunday night against the Cowboys.
And they lose that game.
Then they have Washington. They win that game.
They win that game, yeah.
Then they have New York Giants.
And they win that game.
And win that game.
That's it.
So they're winning two more.
Yep.
All right? They possibly can win all three.
No.
The Cowboys, on the other hand, no. And this is where...
No, if for some reason they beat the Cowboys, they're going to choke on it against the last team that you just said. Sorry, Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. Okay. Yeah. So Giants, you have them going shit. Now, here's what the Cowboys have to finish with. Philadelphia, a game
they're
they can
winning.
Clearly lose, but okay, you have them winning. Then they have Indianapolis.
They win that game.
The Cowboys win that
game.
Yeah,
they actually win that game. They're a different matchup for the Colts than the Colts are used to.
Okay.
It's a different type of offense they run. It's just a different animal. It's almost like they're kind of built to lose against a team like the Cowboys. I don't know if that makes sense at all. But it does in my head.
No, well, you know what? I think that one of the things that there's not a lot of exposure to the NFC East for them, and I think that one of the things that Indianapolis is falling into, and it's one of the things that we've noticed a lot about Tom Brady over the last several years. The Patriots know that they have Tom Brady, so they diminish some of the talent that's around him. Now, that's sort of okay, not really, but sort of okay when you have three Super Bowl championships and you have Tom Brady.
Yep.
It seems like the Colts have diminished the talent, particularly defensively, around Andrew Luck, but he's not Tom Brady yet. So, you know what I mean? Like,
No, of course not. He's tremendous talent. Nobody can argue
nobody
that.
Can argue with it.
And we'll see where his place in history is, you know, after the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, in a decade.
Yeah, but so, other than that, I mean, you're right. Nobody...
They seem to have put way more stock into Andrew Luck and his abilities.
He's still got two good receivers. I just don't understand what's going on with Reggie Wayne. He's got, like, the yips.
He's also what, 33?
He's still dropping balls, man.
I'm with you. And see, but he's Colby Fleener, his former decent. College. Yeah, yeah. He's good. He's good. And he'll have those games like where he'll show up and he'll look like a world beater.
Yeah.
And then the next week he has games, three catches.
Yeah, three catches for 17 yards.
And then we have T.Y. Hilton, of course.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. But bottom line is that they're kind of almost set up to lose to a team like that.
And I don't disagree with that necessarily. So
now,
pull up
the schedule
for
everybody. Pull up the schedule. Let's do
our
picks,
for this
man.
Week. Yeah, yeah, let's see what we got going on this week. And all right, now we already know that there was a Thursday night game, Arizona, in a snooze fest, won 12-6.
Yeah, it was
over.
An awful game. If anybody stayed up and watched that,
they should get
I'm
free
sorry.
Tickets to an NFL
yeah,
game.
And
NFL should have to send them free tickets.
Absolutely.
First game on the list: Pittsburgh, Atlanta. Massive game for both teams. Pittsburgh at Atlanta.
Atlanta wins that game.
Okay, you know what? And I actually think that Atlanta can win that game. They're trying to hold on to their 10.
Social.
Yeah, social. Washington at New York. It's a toilet game.
Oh, it's New York.
You got New York.
New York
yeah,
Giants are winning that game.
I do, too. And just because they're a more stable, even though they're not great this year, they're just a more stable
I think they're
going to
win, yeah.
Next.
I don't
Big
know.
One.
You tell me.
Miami at New England. Who do you have, man?
Who do I have or who do I want?
We know who you want. Who do you have?
I got the Patriots.
Me too.
Wait. I got the Dolphins.
All right, just so we don't social?
No, just because I haven't picked against them all year, so why would I start now?
Okay. No, all right, I can
That's
get that.
It's kind of disingenuous. It's disingenuous to go against me being disingenuous all season.
Okay. No. That's
all right.
Yeah.
I got to keep it consistent.
Now, this is an interesting game for no other reason than that it has been since the 60s one of the best rivalries in football, Oakland at Kansas City. And I know that this is actually important for Kansas City.
It is.
It means
a
nothing.
big game for Kansas City. It actually means the world to Oakland.
And both of them. Yeah.
It means
that's
the world
thing.
To Oakland, but it's everything to Kansas City.
And so that's why this is actually kind of a fun matchup. Although
it's actually going to be a good game. I think Oakland can win this game.
I gotta go Kansas City.
I know, but I think they can win.
Oh yeah, no. Well, after Oakland has shown up,
and that's not any given Sunday
really
crap.
Weird,
I think they
yeah.
can win.
No, they've showed up in these weird games. Oakland showed up for a half, whatever. I think this is the week that Oakland puts it together. I'm gonna take Oakland. I'm going to take Oakland over Kansas
City. That's funny, because I was about to flop from Kansas City to Oakland. Now I'm going to flop from Oakland to Kansas
City. All right,
no
problem, because I just flopped too.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with KC, and you're going with Oakland.
All right, who do you got in Houston at Indianapolis? And this is actually another good game.
No, it's Indy.
It's Indy, but you know what? I'm going to I'm going Houston this week.
Now you're just being it to be a dick.
No, man. Houston,
you know,
seven,
he's going to win.
Houston 7-6.
Okay.
They, you know, J.J. Watt
all
could
right,
have
buddy.
A big day.
That's fine. Whatever you want to say.
Jacksonville at Baltimore. If Jacksonville, if there was ever a game I wanted you to
yeah,
win.
Yeah, it's
right,
that
it's
one.
Against this one. It ain't
Baltimore.
Happening. Yeah. Baltimore. Green Bay at Buffalo.
Be more.
Yeah.
Be more competitive.
Yeah, please. Green Bay at Buffalo. No question. Yeah.
Green
Bay. No, I'm only kidding.
yeah.
Had to. Tampa Bay at Carolina.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know what?
I got Tampa Bay because I got Vincent Jackson and I say Mike Evans or Chris
yeah,
Evans?
Yeah, it's Mike Evans.
Mike Evans,
yeah.
And I got them both going in the Super Bowl. I got them both going in the Super Bowl. That's
oh,
right.
Oh,
in
the
yeah.
Ice Cream Social
oh, yeah.
League.
I
nice
called that
word,
already.
Buddy.
That I'm going to be in the Super Bowl. Remember I called that? Let's room on the tape.
Tape is right behind that. It's in the I Don't Give a Shit file.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if we were to listen to that tape, you would hear Eric predict that he was going to win the Super Bowl, and now I'm going to square off against Pete Rossi, who had a tremendous season this year.
I know, Pete.
And good luck to you, but I'm coming for you. You're going down. Eric wins the Super Bowl. Yeah!
Hey, Pete, whatever you need for help, buddy.
Tampa Bay?
Just reach out to me.
Yeah, that's funny. The other Pete offered me a trade. I said that would be disingenuous.
You can't. The trade deadline's over.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Cincinnati at Cleveland. The Johnny Bench
era
begins.
Nope. Nope. Cincinnati.
Me too.
I would have picked Cleveland if you asked me a week ago.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, I want.
Nope.
I want that kid's just.
No, I want
sternum
his spleen
to
explode.
Yep. Jets at Tennessee.
I'm a dick.
That could actually be the name of the show with such a common knowledge. So, Jets at Tennessee.
Do the Jets win for the Gipper?
They don't. Not against Tennessee.
Tennessee sucks too.
And by the way, I'm not even going to let you guess. This is the cheap ticket a week, but I'm going to have you guess the amount. How much is the Jets at
$7.
Tennessee? So close, dude.
Nine.
Yeah.
Oh!
$9 this week. For less than...
I knew it had to be under 10. I knew it.
Dude, for less than helping a child from Africa.
For less than a pack of smokes and killing yourself slowly.
You can kill yourself quickly
going to this game.
All right, Denver at San Diego. I love this matchup for San Diego. Massive game for San Diego. I'm taking the Chargers.
It's a big game for Denver,
huge
man.
Game for both, and I got to take the Chargers.
Well, I got to take Denver then.
All right, man. All right. Minnesota at Detroit. I got Detroit all day.
Minnesota at Detroit?
At Detroit. And we remember, we need Detroit to get a wild card so that we can be right.
Yeah, but we said that they were going to win the division.
I know, but, whatever.
It still might happen.
It still might happen. San Francisco at Seattle. San Francisco is getting embarrassed this week. Yep.
Yeah, they just fell apart.
Dallas at Philly?
Dallas, yeah.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go
is
Dallas.
Is that the Monday night game?
No, it's Sunday night, but the Monday
who's
night
Monday
game.
Night?
It's New Orleans at Chicago. And
the much maligned New Orleans Saints? Who that what? Who that knows how to play football?
Yeah.
Who that can put some offensive plays together?
And that's not even, and not an exaggeration
oh,
at all.
God.
That's a terrible, terrible football game.
So New Orleans at where?
At Chicago.
Chicago's winning that game.
Yeah, I can, you know what?
Chicago's winning that game. Even though everybody's crapping on Cutler, Chicago's winning that game.
I'll go with that. I'll take that, too. So
that's fantastic. We got a few socials in here. We got a few, where we're not in agreeance. And,
as ever.
You know, all hail the tower.
Yeah,
all
right.
Things serve the tower.
Well, Eric, happy birthday and thank you,
I appreciate you, that, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you, Si. Yes.
And looking forward to another great day of NFL action. I'm glad you could join us here on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Yeah, I'm Eric, and he's Ted. And hit us up on Facebook, Eric and Ted / Facebook.
Facebook.com/ Eric and Ted. And
Eric and Ted ICS on Twitter and our website.
EricandTed.com. And hit us up on iTunes. Just go ahead over there and search for
Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Oh, the shrunk will tell that too. you feel the heat
of the setting sun
burning up the street?
This beat has got me
flooded,
hey, and I know you too.
But now when mama's got the eyes like she's winking at a heart attack,
I really never can tell.
And I'm about to go bananas with a wicked girl in bed.
So we're hitting the road and we're bumping the thunder. My mom look out for down the road. Show on the road, it's the feeling we're under. You can feel it right now to your